Text for the sermon this afternoon comes from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 21. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. This is the living word of the living God. Therefore, be imitators of God as his dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another the fear of God. This morning we heard much about who God has declared us to be. We saw from Isaiah 4 that God has called his people holy. God has given his people a specific identity. Because of that, we saw that God has fellowship with his people and he is a refuge for them. Well, in Ephesians 5, Paul has been developing various theological themes. A while ago, Bill preached on Ephesians 1 and how we are predestined, we are elected. And in Ephesians 2, we read of how that salvation has come about. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest anyone can boast. And now in Ephesians 5, Paul has really gotten to the heart of the practical application of that theology. We have been elected. We have been predestined from before the foundations of the world. God has chosen us in love. And we who once were in darkness, we who were once dead in our trespasses, our sins, have now been made alive through the work of Jesus Christ. We now have salvation, and because of our salvation, we are holy. God has made us holy. We need to know how we are to walk as holy people in this world. It's not enough for it to be declared, well, you are a holy people. We need to know how to live out that calling. If we are to be faithful to our identity, we must know how to walk in that identity. Now, it's one thing for a husband to get married, for a man to get married. But he needs to know how to live in that new identity he has. He needs to now know how to live as a husband. Ephesians 5 shows us how we are to live as Christians. In our text from Ephesians, we have the clear call for us to live in accordance with our holy identity. We are to have a holy walk. And I want to draw out several ways we are to walk in this world. And the first way we are to walk is that we are to walk as children. Holy ones are to walk as children. Ephesians 5, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Now, the majority of us in this room today are adults, but Paul calls us here to walk as children. He calls us to put on the frame of mind of a child, to have the faith of a child. And specifically, what Paul is honing in on here when it comes to children is the imitation of children. Children imitate. Children copy their parents and what they do. Now, I speak of this not as having a born child yet, but as having been a child myself. I see ways that I imitate, even still today, several aspects of my parents. Children are imitators, and we as Christians are to be imitators of God. Specifically, we are to be imitators of Jesus Christ. We are to study the Scriptures. And we are to get to know the person and the character of Christ from the Scriptures. And we are to imitate what we read of Christ. We are to be imitators of God as dear children. Matthew Henry writes on this passage, he says, "Pious persons should imitate the God whom they worship, as far as he has revealed himself as imitatable by them. They must conform themselves to his example and have his image renewed upon them. This puts a great honor upon practical religion, that it is the imitating of God. We must be as holy as God is holy, merciful as he is merciful, perfect as he is perfect." Oh, you have that phrase in the Epistle of Peter, "Be holy." God calls his people to be holy, "for I am holy." Now, there's both a declaration that we are a holy people, but we're also called out to live holy lives. Now, we could make a distinction here between what is called our definitive sanctification and our progressive sanctification. A definitive sanctification is that declaration by God that you are holy, that you are now dead to sin and alive to God. You now have the ability to do good works. And that is something that will never leave us. We who are in Christ, we have definitive sanctification. But the other aspect of that is our progressive sanctification. We have these continual callings in Scripture to grow in holiness, to put to death the deeds of the flesh and put on the deeds of righteousness. And we are to do this by being imitators of God as dear children. So holy ones are to walk as children. Secondly, holy ones are to walk in love. Paul says in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." We are to imitate the love of Christ. We, as holy ones, are to walk in love and let our conversation, our manner of life, to be that of the love of Christ. We have received much love. We have been the recipients of great love. Christ says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that he should lay down his life for his friends." Christ laid down his life on our behalf. We have received great love, and so we are to walk in love. We are to imitate Christ by walking in love. The principle that should be guiding our manner of living is by imitating what Christ has done for us. Paul in Philippians 2 reminds us that if we have received consolation from Christ, if we have received comfort from Christ, if we have received fellowship from the Spirit, if we have received affection and mercy, if we have received all these great things from God, well, then we should be showing forth all these things to others in our relationships, in our marriages. We are to show forth to our spouse, to our friends, the same love with which Christ has loved us. We in this church, even though we all come from many different backgrounds, even though some of us are Americans, well, most of you are Americans, and there's one Canadian, you are to all show the same love towards one another. True love is to love and live out the law of God. Notice that Paul says the opposite of walking in love is to walk in sin. He says in verses 3 through 7, but fornication and all uncleanness. So Paul has just described what love is. And then he goes and says, this is the opposite of love. Do not do this, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. The world talks a lot about love. The world has just celebrated something called Pride Month. For them, they said this is a month of true love. This is a month of the true celebration of love. This is not love. This is what Paul calls fornication. It is perversion of God's will for mankind. It is a vile counterfeit of true love. Far from being clean, it is dirty and unclean. And this type of living, Paul makes it very clear, is not fitting for the saints. Those who are separated from the world and have been dedicated unto the service of God should have nothing to do with this loveless lust the world celebrates. Believers are to put to death. They are to put to death fornication. Those who are called holy should put to death the lust of this world. Paul makes it very clear what true love is. It is to love as Christ has loved. The world talks a lot as well with the downfall of Roe versus Wade. A lot of outcry has come up. A lot of outcry from the world. And Paul would characterize the speech of the world as foolish talking and coarse jesting. The outcry of the world regarding Roe versus Wade is foolish talking. It is not love. It is far from love. This is cruel hatred and even murder. Paul also talks about coarse jesting. More and more in society, as it grows in depravity, you see a certain level of crudeness occurring. You see it on bumper stickers and news articles, videos. Everywhere we look, more and more speech is becoming profane. But if we are to walk in love, our speech should be seasoned with the love of Christ. We should have nothing to do with this profaneness and crudeness. Instead, people should know us as those who are gracious, those who are not afraid to speak the truth and yet speak the truth with love and grace. Our speech should be seasoned with salt and love. Sorry, salt and light. And our speech should especially be thankful speech. The world likes to complain about many things. The world is always coveting after some new thing, wanting what the other people have. But we as Christians should have our minds rightly orientated on the great gift of salvation that we have in Christ. That we who are with God have a lack of nothing. We who are called holy have everything we need for life and death in Christ Jesus. And we are looking forward with joy to that great day. And so our speech should be thankful speech, not the empty words of vile men. We should have thankful speech. We are to walk as imitators of God. We are to walk in love. And thirdly, holy ones are to walk in light. Paul says there in verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We used to be in darkness. That's what characterized us. Paul says in Ephesians 4, that we should not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Here in verse 17, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That was what characterized us before we were saved. We were alienated from the life of God. We were blind to our sins. We were blind to the realities of God's grace and mercy towards us. But God's light has shone upon us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we should walk in the light now. We should have no more dealings with those deeds of darkness. God has made us a new creation. We should walk in the light. In 1 John 1, verse 5, we read, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. He is perfect light. And as such, he can have no fellowship with darkness. Light dissipates darkness. It puts away a darkness. It has nothing to do with darkness. It is the exact opposite of darkness. Because our Father is light, we as children need to imitate our Father. We need to imitate our Father as he is light. We are to have fellowship with him alone. 1 John 1 verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." We as holy ones need to walk in the light. Paul says that in verse 8, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." We are to have the fruit of the Spirit. Paul is giving us a snippet of the fruits of the Spirit he talks about in Galatians 5 there, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So how do we walk in the light? We walk in the light by knowing the Word of God, by knowing the character of God, by knowing who God is, so that we can know what is acceptable to the Lord. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. How are we to expose the works of darkness? Well, we are to live in a manner that exposes the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, there's some people out there who view exposing the works of darkness as simply just calling out and crying out to the people to run from these works of darkness. That's certainly part of what Paul has in mind here, but there's a much more holistic understanding here. Paul isn't just telling us to expose the works of darkness with our words, but we are to expose the works of darkness also with the way we conduct our lives. Our lives are to be orientated such that we show off the light of Christ in our conduct, in our manner of living. We are to certainly say what the unfruitful works of darkness are. But we must also live in such a manner that reveals the darkness for what it is. Christ says in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Character of light is that it exposes darkness. It shines into darkness. It reveals hidden things. It shows forth what something truly is. Darkness obscures. It hides grossness. It hides the true devastation of a thing. The light of the Christian is to expose that. There's a great need for such living today. Christian marriages are supposed to be beautiful to the world. We are to show what it truly is to live as husbands and wives. We are to live in our marriages so affected by the wonder of what Christ has done for us that is manifested in every aspect of our lives. Husbands laying down their lives sacrificially for their wives in love. Coming home after a long day of work and continuing to work for the family, helping the wife, encouraging her in godliness, encouraging her in her relationship with the Lord, ensuring that she has the time to read the scriptures and pray, encouraging her so that she has hope that the gospel gives. Wives are to lay down their lives sacrificially for the husbands in submission. Read this later on in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Wives are to imitate the subjection that the church has to Christ the head. There's a great need for the world to see what it truly means to live as husband and wife together. In a world that seeks to corruptly define what marriage is, there's a need for Christians to show forth what God's true intent with marriage is. That a man and a wife become one flesh and live in beautiful unity and sacrificial love with one another. It There's also a great need for men to live out, married men, single men, even young boys, are to live out true biblical manhood. I'm not talking about false caricatures of what manhood are. I'm talking about true biblical manhood that has a great love for God. And that love for God and Christ is seen in every aspect of life. The selection of calling and the zeal for the preservation of life and the care for women. Men, there's a great need for the world to see your light shine, living out true biblical manhood. Same thing goes to women, married women, single women, young girls. There's a great need for the world to see what true womanhood is as God intended it. The world needs to see what it truly is to live as a woman who fears the Lord, who has a love for the Lord. The world needs to see the witness of Christ in the way we conduct our lives. We are to be His light shining in the darkness. It's not because we have so many good works either. What the world needs to see in us is Christ and what Christ has done for us. Paul, throughout Ephesians, says, "You were once walking in darkness. You were once dead in trespasses and sins." That was who you used to be. Now, because Christ has worked in your life, because Christ has made you holy, you are to show forth Christ in every aspect of your life. You're to show forth the wonder of what Christ has done. That though you were once dead in trespasses and sins, you're now alive. And you're not to do this with a sense of pride and arrogance, as though, "Oh, I'm so much better than all of you." No, Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We should, as Christians, be living in humility, knowing that we are truly the worst of sinners, knowing that we once walked in darkness, but God in His grace and His rich grace has caused us to walk in the light. And walking in the light means that we should have no fellowship with the works of darkness. And that word fellowship here has the idea of being connected with something, the idea of association and participation in something. We are not to associate with the sins of the world. We are not to be named even once among us. We are to have a radicalness about us as Christians. Finally, holy ones are to walk in wisdom. Walking in this world requires a great deal of wisdom. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, obscuring and hiding the truth, seeking to throw his dark cloak over the light of Christians, over the light of Christ. And we need wisdom to understand what is truly going on. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." We live in truly evil days. These days are no more evil than the days that Paul lived in. Paul's encouragement applies as much as to the Ephesians as it does to us. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk with discernment. We just completed our study in Proverbs several weeks back. In that study, we spent a lot of time considering what the truly wise path of life was. And we concluded with Solomon that to walk wisely was to walk in the fear of the Lord. It's striking that Paul mentions the fear of God in this passage. It's as though he's pulling from Proverbs here. He says there in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Part of the way we are to walk in wisdom is by submitting to one another in the fear of God. We are to have the fear of God as we walk in this life. The great aspect of the fear of the Lord is this isn't just a terrified fear of God. No, fear of the Lord is a faith in God, a faith in Him as the one who has provided salvation for us. We are to have the wisdom that comes from faith in Christ. This faith in Christ, that is true wisdom. It is a true understanding of what is actually happening in this world. It is a true understanding of human nature. Human nature being that total depravity. Human nature being that of a great need for God. If we are to walk in wisdom, we are to walk in accordance to this world, to this word, and what it says about us and our need for the Lord. One of the great ways that we can grow in wisdom is heeding this admonition by Paul. You speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the most enjoyable aspects of Synod this past week was the times we had to sing God's word. What encouragement that was to us to remind ourselves of salvation, of the salvation we have in Christ, of our calling to praise our God. That gave us wisdom. God's word gave us wisdom in our deliberation as we sing it. We sing as a unified body of believers who all confess and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us gain wisdom by humbly coming before God's word, beseeching Him to fill us with the Spirit, to fill us with the word of God. So in conclusion, how are holy ones to walk in this life? We're to walk in this life by walking as dear children. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in the light. And we are to walk in wisdom. As we do this and seek to do this, let's not rely upon our own strength. But let us ever have the Lord Jesus Christ before us. Let us ever have Isaiah 4 before us and its context. That yes, we are indeed great sinners, but God has called us holy. And He has called us holy because the spirit of burning and the spirit of judgment came upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ever live the holy life in thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before You, Lord. This is, in many ways, an impossible task if it were up to our flesh. Lord, the devil, the world, and the flesh tempt us and draw us away from You. Lord, we pray that we would live faithful to our identity in Christ, that we would live as holy ones in this world, as those who love Christ because Christ has loved us greatly. Lord, help us in all the affairs of this life to imitate You in love, in light, and in wisdom. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.